The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Over the course of the St. Patrick's Day celebrations in Washington, Donald Trump said the war in Iran will be over in a couple of weeks. He added that the Irish helped to found and build America. The handing over of the bowl of shamrock marked the end of Taoiseach Micheál Martin's four-day tour of the United States after spending time in Philadelphia and in Washington. Well, News Talk's Jamie O'Hara has been in the US since Friday and was at the White House for the meeting between the Taoiseach and President Trump. And Jamie is with me now. Hello, Jamie.
Good morning, Claire.
We'll start with the war in Iran. So what did President Trump have to say about it?
Yeah, there was lots of talk about the war in Iran yesterday. Donald Trump said he had to go into Iran because he had feared they would attack within 24 hours of getting nuclear weapons. He called the regime maniacs. He said that the US had done a little excursion. That's how he described the war in Iran at the start of it, to knock out military targets and their leaders. But he said that was all done without any pleasure. It was done reluctantly. He spent a lot of time over the three engagements I was at yesterday. He called the regime a cancer. He said they had taken out, you know, so much of the regime that they didn't know who they were dealing with now. He said these are the worst people. And then he even just said, you know, the way Donald Trump will start one sentence and he'll fire out an idea. Then he then said, you know, going back to Hitler. That's what he said. That's what he said. These are the worst people. And then he said, you know, going back to Hitler. But this is what President Trump, this is him talking about his little excursion.
We took a little bit of a journey, a little bit of an excursion over the last 2 weeks, because we thought we had to do something about very bad people that want to have nuclear weapons. We can't allow that. They would have had it. If we didn't send the B-2 bombers in, they would have had it 7 months ago, a couple of weeks after that. And we can't let that happen. So we did a little excursion, and we're way ahead of schedule, as you probably noticed. We knocked out their Navy, their Air Force, their anti-aircraft equipment, their radar, and their leaders. It's been amazing militarily, but it's something that had to be done. Unfortunately, I say, we don't do it with glee.
And then one of the questions he was asked in the Oval Office is what he would say to the people of Ireland about the price of fuel spiking since the start of the war in Iran.
I think the people in Ireland are very happy that I'm getting rid of, I have a lot of friends from Ireland, they're very happy that I'm getting rid of a nuclear power, a nuclear terrorist. And as soon as that war's over, which will be soon, your prices are going to drop like a rock. You watch.
Drop like a rock. But what did he say about the trade deficit with Ireland, Jamie?
This was probably, Claire, one of the only criticisms of Ireland or Micheál Martin during the entire trip, the 4 days in Philadelphia. Obviously, Donald Trump had nothing to do with it, but yesterday he mentioned this earlier in the day that he wanted Ireland to buy liquefied natural gas from the United States to make up for the deficit. And then later in the evening, during the final part of the day, the handing over of the Shamrock Bowl, that was in front of a crowd of hundreds. Donald Trump basically riffed for 15 minutes, as he does. He jumped from topic to topic, including how he's the, you know, the healthiest of all the recent presidents. He started picking people out of the crowd. He picked one guy out of the crowd who ended up actually walking up on the stage. Everyone started laughing because Trump didn't expect him to walk up on the stage, but he took it in his stride. But this is what he had to say about trade with Ireland.
U.S. Trade Representative Jamieson Greer. Jamieson, we have a $40 billion deficit with Ireland. $40 billion. We got to do something about it. Where's Jamieson? Okay, please. I'm looking at the little notes and I'm looking, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm hearing all of the accomplishments of your great leader. But then I saw the deficit is $42 billion. So they're going to have to buy a lot of our energy, I think, okay, to make up with that.
Now, in his own speech directly following those comments just before the Shamrock Bowl was handed over, Micheál Martin spoke on the deficit, basically saying Ireland is, you know, the fifth largest source of foreign direct investment in the US with around $390 billion. And then he also spoke about the need for free trade.
Irish companies have so many 737s on order that it would take the Boeing factory in Washington almost an entire year of working solely on Irish orders to deliver them all. It's true. Every day, hundreds of thousands of American men and women go to work in hundreds of Irish-owned companies across the 50 states of the Union. Irish investment is central to making the critical materials for American infrastructure and housing, the food that is served on American tables each night using produce from American farmers, the infrastructure that powers the AI revolution. The United States is the largest economy in the world. Ireland is small. We need free and open trade to make our way in the world. And we like to see as few barriers and tariffs get in the way of that as possible.
All right, that's Micheál Martin. And Jamie, we're just about to debate here whether Micheál Martin's trip to the United States was a success. You were there. What's your take on that question?
Claire, I think it was. Only because Micheál Martin was not targeted in the White House, in the Oval Office, for any great criticism. President Trump described Micheál Martin as, I think the phrase was like a great gentleman or something like that, and a friend of his. He was very complimentary towards the Taoiseach. He acknowledged the historic connection between the US and Ireland. I think it could have gotten a lot. I think it could have gone a lot worse. And I think the fact that Iran was happening, I think that was really taking much of Donald Trump's attention.
Jamie, thank you very much. Jamie O'Hara there. Well, that's his metric for success. But let's speak to my next two guests about that question. I'm joined by Timmy Dooley, who's Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture and Fianna Fáil TD for Clare, and Sinead Gibney, Social Democrat TD for Dublin Rathdown. And thank you both for joining us. Sinead, you don't think it was a success, do you?
No, I don't. I think the Taoiseach missed an opportunity to challenge Trump on his illegal war in Iran. I fully recognise the need for the Taoiseach to go there and represent Irish economic interests, and I think he did that well. But I do think you can then combine that with a challenge to somebody who has, since he retook power in the States just whatever it is, 14 months ago now, he has invaded 7 different countries, and this latest war threatens to throw the world into a global recession. So I think it partly also does cover economic interests to call out that kind of activity.
Timmy, was it Micheál Martin's job to call that out over the weekend?
Well, I think you got to look at the context. Micheál Martin was invited as Taoiseach of Ireland to meet with the President of the United States in the context of celebrating Irish heritage and St. Patrick's Day. This wasn't a College Debating Society's event. It was an opportunity that is afforded to Ireland every year to meet in the White House with the President of the United States. And Micheál Martin's first and primary responsibility is to Ireland, its people, and to continue to develop that Ireland-US relationship, which is really important for our economy, from a jobs perspective, and from the livelihoods of our people. So that's the context.
But in representing the Irish people, is it not important to make our stance clear on this war in Iran?
I think he did that in a carefully curated way.
What did he say?
I think the very fact that when President Trump started identifying Keir Starmer as a bogeyman in relation to the war in Iran, the Taoiseach, in a very diplomatic way, of which he's well suited for, I mean, he has a great depth of knowledge and experience, and he's recognised for that internationally.
Well, what he did say was, though, that he told Donald Trump that he's doing his bit for peace in the Middle East. That's not true.
Well, the reality is what Micheál Martin did very effectively was he calmed a situation that could have turned into an unnecessary brouhaha between all concerned. And that's what a lot of people were suspecting and suggesting would have happened. So he managed the situation very well. He pushed back in defence of Keir Starmer, who's a near neighbour and somebody who we work very well with. He pushed back in a respectful way in relation to Trump's misconceptions about Europe and what it is, and about our immigration laws. And I thought he did that in a respectful way. As I said, you're in another country. President Trump, whether many people like it or not, is the democratically elected president of the United States. And from Micheál Martin's perspective, in the context in which he was operating, he pushed in effectively, in my view, about attempting to turn The opinion in a respectful way.
Okay, I want to bring Sinead back in here, Timmy, because maybe that is the job of the Taoiseach, to go over there, push back in a respectful way, as Timmy said, and in fairness to him, he did that, certainly on Keir Starmer and, you know, Europe is a good place to live and so on. But also, you have to survive it. You have to get out the gap without there being too many international headlines generated.
Well, I would disagree. Like, I think there should be international headlines generated on this. I mean, if you think of it from the perspective of the American people, and particularly the Irish diaspora who live in America, yesterday the domestic headlines were dominated by the fact that Kent, the counterterrorism lead that was appointed by Trump, he resigned on the basis that the whole war in Iran was based on a lie. And can you imagine the power of that being combined with another world leader in the Oval Office saying exactly the same thing to Trump? I fully acknowledge that he pushed back on Starmer, and I think that was the right thing to do. I acknowledge that he pushed back on saying Europe was a nice place to live. He didn't actually really properly recognise the right of asylum, though. I mean, he spoke about migration in a way that very much appeased Trump, not really calling out what is the very dangerous rhetoric around migration that comes from Trump. So I acknowledge that there was pushback in those two spaces, but that was it. I mean, he spoke for 6 of the 40 minutes of the entire press conference. So I believe Micheál Martin could have been and should have been more vocal on many, many elements of it. I mean, he pushed back on Keir Starmer, but he failed to call out that the Trump called our president a man. And, you know, I think there's lots he could have done there and picked up on her comments, for example, about that illegal war in Iran. I mean, we say, and Micheál Martin himself said yesterday, that we want to use diplomacy and dialogue as much as we can, that we have always done that. That was his moment yesterday to do that. Diplomacy and dialogue.
He may not agree with President Connolly's comments on the war in Iran, though.
Yes, but the Irish people do believe that it is an illegal war. I mean, we believe surely as a state that it is an illegal war. There's no basis for his invasion of Iran. And it's not just Iran. It's 7 different countries that he has directly invaded
What is the government position on the attack carried out by the United States on Iran?
Well, it isn't a binary issue. It's not just one or the other. The reality is that Iran poses a very significant threat to peace in the world. If it continued to develop nuclear weapons, which
wasn't threatening America, according to the head of the counterterrorism in the United States, who resigned.
And it is a binary thing to say that it was a breach of international law or not. And that is a phrase that he could have used. There was no mention of the words international law for the entire 40 minutes from either Trump or Micheál Martin. I do appreciate that he later referenced those in the Shamrock ceremony. But he failed to do it in that moment. And that is exactly what diplomacy is. It's exactly what dialogue is.
But we're also left with a situation now in terms of upholding international law, that for a conflict to begin, that it requires clearance from the UN Security Council, which is a permanent member, such as China and Russia, who have diametrically opposed views to the Western world. So when you have a situation that has evolved and developed like that, it's very, very difficult.
It's possible through Uniting for Peace resolution at the General Assembly. There are many ways in which we could advance that. But the difficulty is that world leaders are just capitulating to Trump and acknowledging him as a legitimate actor in all of this. He is a warmonger and he needs to be named as such.
And I'm always taken by those that seek to just pick one side or the other rather than understanding the complexity of this issue. And this isn't just about the 30-second soundbite, Sinead, which so many other political leaders in this country have become very good at. It's a lot more complex. And in fairness to Micheál Martin, with his depth of knowledge and experience, he managed through that very difficult situation yesterday where he was trying to encourage President Trump along a particular line that would be favourable towards Ireland and the European Union, whilst at the same time recognising that he was a guest in another country and it wasn't for him to target or end up having a full frontal row with him, but in a careful, as I said, way, in a diplomatic way, manage his way through the situation.
Timmy, what about the LNG? Are we going to do it?
Well, I think some of that was unscripted, as I understand. As you do know, though, Ireland, from an energy security point of view or from a gas security point of view, has already taken a government decision that we are going to have an LNG facility on the Shannon Estuary as a backup in the event of there being any rupturing of the supply lines where we get gas currently through the UK from the North Sea.
But if you were listening yesterday, it looks like we're going to be forced to buy it from one particular place, from the United States.
I would say that's highly unlikely. I think that was a throwaway comment. And I mean, President Trump is very, very good at selling his wares. And I think the Taoiseach was equally strong in identifying that the balance of payments works both ways, that we're very significant investors in the United States. He referenced in the clip that you had there in relation to the purchase of planes from Boeing. But also, we have very significant investment in the food ingredients business, where Irish companies headquartered here are very significant employers in the United States. And as he said, we're the fifth biggest investor in the United States. That's very significant when you consider the size of our population. And it's often lost in that East-West debate. And it was a great opportunity yesterday for the Taoiseach to highlight those issues that matter to our economy, matter to our employment, and matter to the lives and livelihoods.
It sounds like for peace, like if the LNG is front of mind with Donald Trump, for peace, would you not say it is a good strategy to buy some of it from him? To shut him up, in other words.
The reality of the purchase of LNG will be based on market conditions. We have a responsibility to the taxpayer that we don't buy it from the highest offer. When we get around to that, I'm sure the purchase of LNG will be based on market values.
Okay, so Sinead, that's something, isn't
it? He's a relatively small, by the way, just to be clear.
I know that, but that doesn't seem to matter to him. Like, it's, as you said, it's front of mind, throwaway comment, but he did say it a couple of times. He wants us to do this. We're so mindful of how our economy relies on the American economy that might just be a sop.
But I might also say, Karen, this is important. We're on a different trajectory to the United States in relation to our energy mix. We're moving towards renewable energy. We have very significant targets in the amount of electricity that we'll generate from renewable sources by 2030 and 2040. Yeah. So we're weaning ourselves off fossil fuels. We're weaning ourselves off of gas. President Trump has a different view, and he's entitled to do so on behalf of his people. Our view is different. We don't have...
Yeah, but it's like buying the raffle tickets, isn't it? You mightn't want them. You mightn't be interested in the prize.
I think there's other ways, Claire, and I think if he gets an opportunity to visit his facility in my constituency down in Dunbeg later in the year for the Irish Open, which he mentioned a couple of times, he may come to appreciate the importance of...
Sinead, why are you shaking your head at mention of Dunbeg?
Because we do not welcome the idea of an official visit, that's for sure. And I don't think the Irish people would like to see a president who has invaded seven countries come here this year and be rolled out the red carpet by this government. That's why I'm shaking my head. I mean, obviously, the man can fly to Dunbeg and attend a golf competition if he wishes, but it should not be an official state visit invited by Ireland.
OK, Timmy, what do you say to that?
I think we have to recognise that President Trump, whatever your view of him is the democratically elected president of the United States. Yes, I accept there are people with very differing views in relation to that, but I think we
do
have
a responsibility.
Do
you accept that he has invaded seven different countries since he's taken office and that nobody is challenging him on that?
The issue is slightly different here. We're talking about whether or not Ireland should afford him an official visit as president of the United States, as somebody who's democratically elected. And I think that offer has been there for some time for him to come and visit. And I think it's the appropriate approach to take in this instance.
A listener says, Sinead, he's a volatile character, prone to grudges. He's the most powerful politician in the world. So why go into his lair with a big stick and poke him? What would we gain from that?
Global order is under threat more than any other time in my lifetime right now. And it is absolutely vital that we pin our colours to that mast, the mast of global order, global peace, solidarity, social justice. Those are the words and the principles that we should be upholding now. He stands for everything against that. He stands for self-interest, self-enrichment. He is a prospector wherever he goes, if it's the rare earth minerals in Ukraine, if it's the oil in Venezuela. That's what he's interested in. And we need to start calling that out more clearly. Like, it is long past the point where the emperor has no clothes. And we continue. I mean, I appreciate that he's democratically elected, but he can be democratically elected and be a warmonger in the same breath. Mm-hmm. And we have to take it with that reality. We cannot just continue to say we have economic ties with the US that trumps everything else and we need to bow down to them. That's just not the case anymore. And there are other countries where we manage that more in a more balanced way. And we're not doing that with the US.
Sinead Gibney and Timmy Dooley, thank you both for joining us on that this morning. Keep the messages coming in. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.